turn our Bibles back to the scripture that was read earlier, to Matthew chapter number 17. We're going to be looking at verse number 14 through 21. And before we read our scripture, let's pray. Father, wow, to stand again before you, first of all, knowing that I will be accountable for everything that comes out of my mouth. So as the psalmist once said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, first of all, in your sight. Oh, Lord, oh, you awesome God. Oh, my Savior. And then, Lord, as I am have given this assignment to feed the flock of God, which you have purchased with your own blood, I know what I got to do. I know how terrible it is if I would say anything to your flock that is not from your heart. So stop me from saying anything of my own philosophy, my own opinion, and that we would preach and teach what thus saith the Lord out of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 14 reads as this, and if you hear, I'm going to read verse number 14, and you and the congregation will read 15, and we will read that way all the way down to verse number 21, okay? Verse number 14 says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse number 20, thank you. So Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Amen. Yeah, bless the Lord. We are in part number 2 of our lesson this week. Last week we spoke to you about warfare prayer. And today we're actually going to go into the scriptures and understand what warfare prayer is all about. And so it is important. And if you don't mind, let us make the same statement that we made last week when I said that if you are a born-again Christian, you are enlisted and engaged in spiritual warfare. Whether you like it or not, if you are a Christian, you have been enlisted into the army of God to fight a good fight of faith. So, with that being said, why don't we take the time to understand what warfare prayer looks like? Some have said that they are confused about what it looks like. I'm going to ask those that are responsible for putting the scriptures up on board, will you please bring me James chapter number 5 and verse number 16? And I want it from the New Living Translation. And in this passage of scripture, you're going to get a clear understanding of what warfare prayer is. And while that scripture is coming up on the board, let me just say this. Every prayer that a believer prays is warfare prayer. Do you hear me? Every prayer that a believer prays is considered warfare prayer. Now, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to bring your attention to the latter part of this verse. It would be 16b. I have it highlighted in my notes, but I want to just bring you to this passage. Look at what it says. It says, the earnest prayers of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. That is warfare prayer, all in a nutshell. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, I want to say this to you because there is some confusion, and I know there's multiple books out there that you purchase on prayer. You want to be taught how to pray. I remember when Jesus was praying and the disciples were so enamored of his prayer life, and they came to him and said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray as John the Baptist has taught his disciples how to pray as well. So we see that there is a desire to pray that has results. Now, I want you to know something, dear brothers and sisters. There are great examples in the Old Testament alone, let alone the New Testament, where men and women fought the good fight of faith by their warfare prayer. I am reminded of the time when Moses, and he told Joshua that I want you to go out there and fight the Amalekites. And while you go out there and fight the Amalekites, I am going to go up on this hilltop, and I'm going to stand up there with the rod stretched in the air, and you're going to get the victory. Dear hearts, I want you to understand something, that is a picture type of prayer. So in that, the Bible lets you know that when Moses got tired and his hand would cease to be held up, they would fall down, and the enemy would then, they would prosper in the warfare against the children of Israel. So Hur and Aaron thought that they would go up there and hold up the hands of Moses. Dear hearts, listen, the Bible is emphatically stating that you will not get the victory in your life or in the life of this country or in the life of your loved ones unless you pray. Jesus had taught that men ought to always to pray and not faint. I remember the time that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he took Peter, James, and John. Well, he took all 12 of them to be exact. But he took Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, and they went a little bit deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane. And while they were there, Jesus said, listen, I want you to stay here and pray, and I'm going to go over yonder and pray. And he goes over there, and after he was praying unto God, and dear hearts, I need you to understand something, that there was war in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because, listen, Jesus was in his prayer time asking God, if it's ever possible that salvation can be wrought other than me dying on the cross, oh, find that way, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. But Jesus comes back and he finds the disciple asleep, and he was not confused, he was upset. He said to Peter, could you not watch with me just for 1 hour? Could you not pray just for 1 hour? He said, listen to me. You need to understand prayer is vital in your life because, listen, though the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And you know that is a fact because when you go down into your prayer life, when you go to pray, and I tell you, the devil bombards your mind with off-the-wall stuff. You wonder, where does those hideous things come from? It's the devil that is trying to stop you from having an intimate relationship with God. Because he knows no prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. And that's why we need to understand what God is teaching us from the Word of God. Listen. Prayer is a communication. It's intimacy with Almighty God. It's intimacy with Almighty God. And that's why the devil is trying to stop you from praying. Yeah, he's trying to stop you from praying. May I do this for a minute? It's not a trick. It's not a trick. But if you are a born-again Christian, could you just stand for a minute? If you name the name of Christ, will you please stand to your feet? If you are a born-again Christian, will you please stand to your feet? Is all of the Christians standing? Wow. Wow. Just look around you. Go ahead, look at the power that is represented in here. Wow. What power that you and I as believers have in the body of Christ. Will you bring me, please stay standing, will you please bring me 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I believe it is. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I want verse number 3 and 4. You as a believer, before you sit down, I want you to see this passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 3 and 4. Is it up on the board? Read along with me. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who have enlisted them. I know we have one military man here besides Brother Ricardo. Is there any other military person? Okay, so we have to listen, listen. When you are enlisted or you sign up into the army or any of the armed forces, you take you swear an oath of enlistment to the government. Now, we have taken some time to write out a Christian oath of enlistment into the body of Christ. So I said to Deacon Tyrone that I want you to know that you have been enlisted. So will you stand as you're standing and raise your right hand? Everyone raise your right hand. And I want you to repeat after me. As a soldier, say your name. I solemnly affirm that I will support and defend the church of the living God against all enemies from outside the church and from those who crept in unaware, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And that I will obey the orders of the chief shepherd of my soul, Jesus Christ. All those that he had put to watch over my soul. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct and faith and prayer and fasting and the Word of God are the weapons of my warfare. So help me God. You may be seated, soldiers. Yeah, yeah. See, the Spirit of the Lord laid it upon my heart because there's some confusion amongst the body of Christ because of the, if this is the word, the passivity of Christian church today, that we sit back and we allow everybody to walk on us. I don't know. Maybe you can see it. Do you see welcome on my back? There's not a welcome on our backs at all. And it is high time, as the soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we need to stand up and be counted for and fight the good fight of faith. We need to lay hold onto eternal life and fight this fight for Jesus Christ's sake. Now listen, I said this to you before last week. I need you to understand something, dear hearts. You are not fighting for victory at all. You know what I want you to do from this day forward? I want you to hold up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ over the foes and the enemies of heaven. I want you to pronounce judgment on them that has been pronounced way back on Calvary Cross, that you as a soldier in Jesus' army, that you're going to stand against all of the wiles of the devil, and that you're not going to be ignorant of his devices, and you're going to fight, and you're going to win the battles that are in your life. You're going to fight a good warfare. Yeah. Now, all of that was said to say this. The backdrop. Jesus again takes his inner circle up into the Mount of Transfiguration. It wasn't called the Mount of Transfiguration. It was called the Transfiguration because he was transfigured at that mountain. So now it's called the Mount of Transfiguration. So I don't want you to look on the calendar or on the map and see where's the Mount of Transfiguration, just so you know. So up there in the mountain, there was Jesus, and you gotta see this, because the gospel explains to us that when Jesus got to that point where he was supposed to get, the glory of the Lord shone from out him, and his countenance became like the sun. Ooh, I could only imagine the glory of the Lord that was in him, that is in him, and it shined to those that were there. And then here comes Pete. I hope some of you don't be like Pete. Pete just talked way off the top of his head. He don't know what's going on. Oh, Lord, is it good that we should be here? And should we build a booth for you? And should we build a booth for Moses? And should we build a booth for Elijah? And then all of a sudden, there was a cloud and some clanging going on. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Oh, that was the father telling Peter, don't you dare put nothing in front of my son. Nothing and no one takes my son's place. Not Moses, not Elijah, not even my son is my son. After all of that happened, they come down from the mountaintop experience. But just so you hear this, when they were coming down, Jesus looked at those three and says, guys, don't tell nobody what you've seen. Don't you tell nobody. They come down, and then here is a man that comes to Jesus and says to him, look at this. Oh, my heart was broke for him. And when they came down from the mountain, the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is epileptic and suffers severely, for often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. I need you to get this, dear hearts. Two things. In chapter 10 of Matthew and in chapter 10 of Luke, you find Jesus Christ giving his disciples power to tread upon serpents, power over the demonic forces of hell. He said that what there is by no means is anything going to hurt you. But then in chapter number 17, look what he says. in verse number 17, and he said, "And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Bring him, dear hearts, listen. These men, these nine men that was left down there, lost the power of God that they could not even cast out one demon, when earlier before they was out there and the devils were subject. They was healing the sick. They was raising the dead. The sight was being recovered. The ears was being all open. But at this moment, they have no power. Why? What happened to them that they could not even cast one demon out? It's all in Jesus' words. Listen to what he says again. O faithless and perverse generation. Let's stop there for a minute. Because I think the powerlessness that is in the church is because we forget or have forgotten where the power comes from. The disciples were perverted in their thinking that the power was of them and not of Jesus Christ. And listen, dear hearts, we have the body of Christ today, I'm going to again say this, is an identity crisis, that we're forgetting that who is in charge, and we're building our own kingdoms, and we're building our own empires, and we think that if we lay our hands on somebody, we spit in somebody's face, that is of God. But my dear brothers and sisters, listen, it is not the disciples' thought that, see, we came up here, we did it before, dog, and we can, it's not of ourselves. We must never forget that the power of God that is in you, it is not yours. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And now I strongly believe this, that when the believer realizes that without Christ, you can do absolutely nothing. But with Christ, all things are possible. So the children, the disciples were perverted because they thought that it was in themselves, you know. I'm going to say this. I shared this amongst the men, and I hope all of you get this, and I hope it's all true of you. You know what, dear hearts? I was 21 when I came to Jesus Christ. I was out of my mind. I couldn't read or write. I had a hard time understanding. We laugh and joke. I remember I went to my job, and I don't know. Matter of fact, they hired me before I filled out an application, and it's not because I was good at what I was doing. It was because of my dad. But I know now it says capacity, and I'm up there looking at this crane, and y'all don't laugh at me. Promise y'all won't laugh at me. I'm looking at this crane, and I'm looking at the crane, and the crane says capacity 5 ton. Don't I got feelings? I know it says capacity. I couldn't read. And you know, it's not because I didn't have an opportunity. It's because I was lazy. They put me in special ed, and oh, my goodness, all we did was play tiddlywinks. And I'm not lying. Pick up sticks and cards. Back in the 70s, they didn't care whether you learned or you didn't. It didn't matter. But I came to Christ crazy like that. And I gave him my life at 21 years of age. Now, you may not agree with me, but I'm going to agree with me that who I am today is because of what Christ is in my life. I have nothing of myself. All of you can possibly testify that before you came to Christ, you were strung out on drugs. You were giving your body to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and every woman that you were. You had all kinds of diseases. All of that's happening. And then you come into here that Jesus Christ, and Jesus cleans you up and shakes you up. And now you think you all of that, forgetting that the power is not of us, but is of God. And I strongly believe that if we would go out on the power of God and not of ourselves, I know that we can see the same power that has been exhibited in the Bible days can be exhibited in us today. I believe that, but get it out of yourself. that you're all of that. Because you're not all of that without Christ. And because of Christ, you're all of that. Yeah, yeah. Now there's a question that is frequently asked. And we're going to answer this question today. The question is, does all prayer get the same results? Does all prayer get the same results? I'm going to be quiet there for a minute. Let it register, because you probably got a preconceived answer already. You ready? We will answer this question with an astounding yes. Yes. All prayers of a believer gets the same result. And the result is that God hears and answers the prayer of every believer. The result is the fact that God hears the prayers of every believer. The issue is, are you listening to the answer that he gives you? That's the issue, because, dear hearts, many of us go out there in prayer, and I know this is a matter of fact, that whenever we pray, we always have a yes as an answer. It's always yes. You never allow God to be sovereign and say to you yes, no, or maybe so. It's always that, God, you promised, and I'm going to lay my hands on it, and you're tying God's hand. It's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not. So it is important that all prayers does get the same results, that your Heavenly Father hears every prayer that a believer prays, every prayer that a believer prays. So let me again say, the issue then goes back to, are you listening to what God says? Stop. Stop trying to twist his arm and bend him to your will. Rasija, come here. Come here, I talked about this. I want you to do me a favor. As hard as you can, bend my arm. Keep on. See, this is God. You know, as finite as we are, you think that because of what you say and what you do, that you can bend God's arm. You can't bend God's arm. It's just like my little baby grandboy here. It's impossible for this little boy to bend my arm. Okay, son, go. You're tired. You try that, don't you? Come on, who's honest? Don't you try to bend God's arm? Yeah, you think that God and now let me go here. Let me go here. Go to Jesus' answer. Jesus says, as they ask him, why is it that we couldn't do that? Why is it that we couldn't cast out this demon? What does he say? He says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Let me say this, because, dear hearts, this is a warfare prayer. May I talk to you about fasting for a minute? Isn't it a fact that we hate fasting? How many of you hate fasting? Oh, we hate fasting. Yeah. I kind of wondered. I remember when Jesus was again coming, and the Pharisees and the scribes was there and saying, your people are gluttons. Said, because they don't fast like John the Baptist disciples fast. And Jesus says that, as long as they have the bridegroom, they don't need to fast. But when the bridegroom is taken, then they will need to fast. Now, Jesus is telling us that the only way we're going to experience victory in a warfare of prayer is that when we pray and fast. Now, let's talk about this fasting, dear hearts, because let me show you once again. Fasting is not bending God's arm. Do you hear me? Fasting is not bending. Don't say to God that because I'm fasting for my favorite vehicle is a Bentley. A Bentley. That car is sweet. $190,000 that Bentley costs. And there is no way in the world I can pray, I can snot, I can spit, and do all of, there's no way in the world I can afford a Bentley. So me fasting, cutting my face up, and saying to God, I'm fasting for a Bentley, you know what God's going to say? Stop, son. Stop. So let me, as simple as we can, describe to you what is the purpose of fasting. Are you ready? It is to buffet your body and bring it under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? It has nothing to do with nothing else but making sure that in your prayer life, you're seeking thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And don't think that you can fast and pray to get God to again to bow down to you. It is nothing to do with that, dear heart. It has everything to do with your will being broken and conformed to the will of Christ. Does that make sense to you? Dear hearts, understand that. That's why the Bible is telling us that it is through prayer and fasting do we know that the devils are going to be subject, because my spirit, my flesh is subject to the Spirit of God. Because, dear heart, you know this is a fact. How many of you have ever, somebody just made mention of this. Somebody told me this story. Have anybody ever been in a surrounding when demonic forces was being cast out? I know if we are familiar with St. James, we that grew up there, we would see that happening. We would see that, and God's people would get scared to death. They would. Why? What would make a Christian back up from the demonic forces if it wasn't because they are stuck on themselves? Because, dear heart, I strongly believe this in our time now, that God wants to utilize us to take charge of the demonic forces that is running rampant in Reading. Now, this may be a little bit for you to understand. But see, there are territorial demons around the United States of America. And it is here in the city of Reading. There are some things that has happened in the city of Reading and in the city that you come from or the town that you come from that we have never confessed to God about. And they're holding us captive because the Church of Jesus Christ is not standing out there and then denouncing the strongholds that Satan has in the places where we're supposed to take control of. I believe that. I remember the time, you can find this out, Daniel chapter 9, Ezra chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, that they went into prayer and they confessed to God for the sins of the land. I remember Daniel when he invited us into his prayer meeting, he said, God, it was us. We turned our backs from you. It was us that said that you were not God anymore. Listen, dear hearts, I strongly believe that when God's people stand up and confess for the sins of our country and of our cities and of our townships, I strongly believe that we're going to gain, listen, we're going to gain some territories that Satan has its stronghold. Because, do me a favor, bring that up again. Bring 2 Corinthians chapter 10 Anybody? Verse 3, 4, and 5. Anybody? Though we're in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. Mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, my goodness. Listen. James 5:16b says, the earnest prayers of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Come to verse number 4. Look at that. Pulling down strongholds. Dear hearts, you see our cities across the land. We are talking about things that are so hideous that they're demanding that the church will co-sign. All of the stuff that is happening, but the Bible tells us that the God's people, the power of God, the might of God is for the pulling down of strongholds. Bring the next verse up there, bro. Look at this. Who is that talking to? It's not talking to any Tom, Dick, and Harry. He's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to God's people, casting down our arguments and every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, my goodness, look at that, bringing every thought. Every thought captive. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and 5, and we got to go, let this mind that be in Christ be.
You need to tell me. Hold on. The same mind, same mentality, same outlook on life that be in Christ. Father, I don't come to do my will, but your will. Oh, by the way, Father, as you sent me, I'm sending them. They're going to do my will as I did your will. Y'all mean that really? Come on. Really?
That's the only way we're going to see strongholds in people's lives. We have seen men and women being delivered from drugs and alcohol. And because they refuse to take upon themselves spiritual disciplines, they go right back. But you as a believer has a responsibility to go after them. Because that charity, that love, is going to cover a multitude of sin. But you need to go after them. We gotta go. Listen. We're gonna look more at this. Please hear Jesus. However, this kind does not go out except through prayer and fasting. God again is telling us that we must be spiritually disciplined as a good soldier, good soldier of Jesus Christ. Dear hearts, let us not get entangled with the affairs of this world. Not let this world dictate to God's people. I told Brother Mike today, Brother Mike today. All of you are special forces. All of you. And I'm telling you that God wants you to stop looking down on yourself. God wants you to stop being negative about yourself. Listen to me. I'm telling you what God says. Stop speaking negativity in your life. Stop that. Because you will never understand the power of God if you always look at how wimpy you are. You're not wimpy. I told Brother Mike today, you know who I am in Christ? Huh? I'm a sniper. That's what I am. I'm a sniper. See, we go out there and we put the crosshairs on the enemy and we take them out. Now, not Jack in himself. Hold on. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Don't go out. Pastor Jack said he all of that. Not even if I'm a bag of chips, it's empty. But all of you need to stand up. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says this. Be strong. In the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, that sounds good. Listen, take your rightful position. Don't take down. Stand up. There is victory from Calvary Cross that we can claim as ours, that when we go out into the world, the devil still must be subject to us. May we stand to our feet. I want to talk to you today. There might be somebody here that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me say that. Is there one here that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Please, dear heart, oh, God loves you. God loves you so much. Oh, so much. Oh, come to Jesus.